Good morning. For our first song this morning, open your songbooks to number one. Just inside the front cover, number one, Come Thou Almighty King. Oh, ho, ho. Come Thou Almighty King, help us Thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father. Number 52. Number 52, Thou art the way. Oh, Thou art the way. To Thee alone, from sin and death we flee, and He who would the Father seek, must seek Him, Lord, by Thee. Thou art the truth, Thy word alone. True wisdom can impart. Thou only canst inform the mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life, the rending tomb proclaims Thy conquering arm, and those that put their trust in Thee, nor death nor hell shall harm. Thou art the way, the truth, the life. Grant us that way. That truth to keep, that life to win, whose Number 114. O Lord, within my soul.
O Lord, within my soul, I long for purity, to be complete and whole alone through Thee. There is no other hope, there is no other plea. Salvation, for salvation free, must come alone through Thee. I bend before Thy cross, and know my heart can be cleansed from its sin and dross alone through
Number 36. King of my life, I crown Thee now.
Oh, King of my life, I crown Thee now. I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me. Tomb where
Well, good morning and greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Welcome to this service this morning and all the way through this next week as you can make it. Bring others with you. Come praying. We do have a prayer meeting up here at 6:15 every evening and encourage you to come. And especially the young people. We believe that revival often begins, as it has in the history of the church, often with young people. And so we invite young people to come up here to pray too, so that this pattern can be kept on, and not just we who are a little older after a while will pass off the scene, that there's no more prayer meeting. So come, young people, we need you. And I encourage, I want to thank and commend those young people who have been praying in your special places and so forth, but you're welcome here. Even if it's after 6:15, why, just feel free to come join us and make your own group. And if groups are already established, well, just make your own group and start praying. I think that's the key to revival. We really believe that. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Again, we welcome everybody here this morning. And God is so good to give us just a little cloudiness, kind of make this an air-conditioned place. Revelation chapter 2, it seemed like the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us about this thing of love, and especially our first love, and leaving our first love. It doesn't say we lost it, but in this church, but it says they left it. They had fallen. I believe God is calling us back to a first love. I'll read this passage of Scripture with some comments and then prayer. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, or remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now let's stand together just for the reading of this last verse here together. Let's reverently, in respect to God's word, I should have you stand before, read together this last verse, and especially notice verse 7, notice what the Spirit would have us to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You may be seated. Words of Jesus. If Jesus would come to your church and send a message to some brother John to have read in your church, what would it read? What would it say? I think this is a message that it would likely say today in our day. The Spirit has been speaking to us the last several evenings, and this thing of thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and so on. And last evening particularly, Brother Pablo, brothers, the Spirit moved through him to speak in this particular thing of leaving our first love. Notice some of the good things that Jesus has to say about this church. Maybe we, in our Mennonite, Amish Mennonite settings, or otherwise, fit into a church like this quite well. Seven good things. First of all, he says, I know thy works. Secondly, thy labor. And thy patience, thirdly, which is perseverance. They weren't giving up. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. They were not tolerant toward evil. They shunned it. They hated it. And number five, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They had a test to put to teachers. that came into their midst. They found them false teachers. They had a real scrutinizing way of doing it, organized, it seemed like. They tried them, tested them, found them liars, false teachers. Number 6 in verse 3, hast borne in respect to sufferings in the cause of Christ. They were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. To bear the burden is what that's saying. And then again, he mentions, hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored. And then number 7, hast not fainted. They didn't give up. They persevered. They kept on. They were spirit-filled, I believe, in a sense. Well, maybe not totally. But they didn't give up. They had not fainted. But there was one thing we would say, Jesus, maybe he's a bit picky here. Just one thing. But that one thing was enough to say what Jesus did. He says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. We read over here that in verse 5, there's 3 steps, I think, to revival. Remember, think about the first experiences of your Christian walk with Jesus. Secondly, repent. Turn around. Change your attitude. We're doing just pretty good. Everything's in place. We have a good organized, we have so many committees and such a very good church program. But we've left our first love. Repent and then do the first works, or recover, revive those first works, or else. Repent or else. Notice it. Repent or else. This isn't the only time that he mentions these words to certain churches here among these 7 that he picked out. It's a message for us today. Repent or else. I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In my little short lifetime, I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen to churches in our community right here. It seemed like the candlestick, the light, the fire, the zeal, the Bible studies, the Bible schools, the revival, which was once experienced in years gone by, is dead. Oh, let it not happen to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. See, who will get to heaven? Who are those who will get to heaven? Amen. Those who are overcomers. Only overcomers will get there. Amen. Now, let's just take a little look back in Acts 19 and get a little history of this church. What kind of a church was this? And so forth. Acts chapter 19. This church had a few believers in the very beginning there. I won't take time to read all this. But had some believers, but they only believed in the baptism of John. They had not yet heard about Jesus Christ and his coming, apparently. And Paul preached unto them Jesus, and they became baptized with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke with tongues, like happened in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and also in chapter 10 with the Cornelius and the Gentiles. The same way, they spoke in tongues, which was credentials that God was with them. And in verse 6, the Holy Ghost came on them. And in verse 7, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Can you imagine the fire, the zeal, the inspiration? And then when there was such a kind of a division between those who did not believe and those who believed, in verse 9, why, he separated the disciples and started a Bible school called Tyrannus Bible School for 2 years. Here he preached to them. Can you imagine the fire, the zeal, the blessing? It said their message spread throughout the known world in that region, in the Ephesus, in the Ephesian region, in that area. Many, many people believed on the Lord. And then there was such a prevailing of the Word of God through an experience that happened here with some believing Christians who, where the evil spirit leaped on them, verse 16, and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And God used this to bring about a great revival. Fear fell on all of them. Verse 17, we want revival? The fear of God has to come down upon us. Amen? We need that. And we pray for that. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. That's the next thing. For revival, the fear of God has to come down upon us, and we need to pray for this, that the fear of God would rest on our hearts today and tonight and all the week through. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Jesus' name has to be magnified. The Lord Jesus Christ has to be preached. And then many that believed, they confessed and showed their deeds. There it is, revival. Believing, confessing, showing our deeds. And there was even a great bonfire. Maybe we need that today. Maybe there's CDs, tapes. Maybe there's magazines. Maybe there's dress even that needs to be put in a fire. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. In verse 19, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all. And they counted the price of them and found it 50 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, praise God. For such a revival we would pray for again today. We know revival can't really be duplicated. God has to send it anew, refresh in his own time and in his own way. But we need to be willing and pay the price for revival. And so it was. That was the first beginnings of this church. Their first love. Their love for God. Their zeal. Their love for truth. And then Paul writes to them a letter a little later. And that letter is so beautiful. It's like a heavenly picture of the church from eternity to eternity. From the vanishing point to the vanishing point, he gives a picture of the true church of Jesus Christ. And one of the things he especially mentions there, he talks about the greater temple than Diana. This was one of the, this city, as we know, had the temple of the great goddess Diana, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. People came from all over and worshiped that at that place, that goddess Diana. And Paul pictures in his book with Ephesians something greater than that, a temple that's more outlasts that and has outlasted it. Because if the temple at Ephesus has gone, this temple Diana has gone down in ruins, and so has a city, and so has a church, sadly. But the gospel of Christ goes on and on and on. The temple of the great goddess Diana, one of the seven wonders of the world. And so Paul pictures, he writes in the book of Ephesians concerning this great temple, the church. His building is fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And he mentions too about the heavenlies in the book of Ephesians. You see, these people felt like this great goddess Diana came down from the heavenlies, from Jupiter. That's Acts 19:35. And so Paul writes about something far better is given us in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Revival begins often with young people. And I encourage you to continue praying, young people, and all of us together, really. Remember that. And we invite you to our prayer meetings. If you can't come, be here and pray, pray on the way. Pray at home today. Let's continue to pray. Shall we stand together for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you indeed with gratitude and praise this morning because you are worthy. Oh, Lord, we want thy name to be magnified, exalted, lifted high. For Jesus himself said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. And Father, maybe among this great crowd here today, there's some sinner souls who do not know Jesus, or some maybe who have lost their way, or some have left their first love. And oh, we confess this. We need to be so careful. It didn't happen so quickly. And we pray, forgive us when we leave our first love at times and cleanse us. May our hearts be revived. May we remember and repent and do the first works. Thank you for this message that you've given to the church. Thank you for the message and the promise to overcomers. And to one, give a word of encouragement, to another, word of wisdom, to another, a word of a blessing and knowledge and discernment of spirits. Impart by our Holy Spirit through the message today, whether it's the children's class or the message brought by Brother Pablo, fill him with the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. May each heart be touched some way or another. May we not go away from this place empty, but more filled with thy goodness more than ever before, willing to share the gospel of Christ wherever we go. For we praise you, send us revival, and we thank you for your precious promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We'll turn the time over to Brother Ben Stalsfus, who will be our moderator for the morning.
Thank you, Floyd, for the devotional, and welcome. Again, I want to extend that. I'm glad you're here this morning, and I think it's just really appropriate that Brother Pablo is bringing that theme of loving the Lord our God with all we got. In fact, I even appreciate the fact that he said it's a command. It's not even an option for a follower of Jesus. We're called to it. A few announcements along with the order of service here this morning. Brother Pablo is going to have a children's class here in just a little bit, and he wants all the children to come up and sit on this carpet and face the audience, because he wants his back turned toward the audience. He said it's okay if the rest of us listen, but he's really zeroing in on the children this morning for a little bit. Right after children's class, Laverne, you want to come and lead us in a singing time? I'm thinking maybe 10, 15 minutes. During the singing time, maybe at the first song, ushers, be prepared to take the offering. When you see Laverne come up here, just come on up and receive the offering. The offering this morning is for the 10 expenses. If there's a money left over that we don't need for the expenses, it'll go to a good cause. The La Torcha that is being printed in Spanish for the believers in Costa Rica and Nicaragua, we're going to try to fund some of that. So if there's anyone that wants to write a check, just go ahead and write it to Pequay Church, Pequay Amish Mennonite Church, and we'll see it gets to the right place. We are encouraging our people to bring water bottles this week. It's been warm, so bring your own personal water bottle and keep it by your seat and keep yourself hydrated. There's also some water in the back, but not enough for this many people, and it takes away from the distraction if you bring your own. This evening, we plan to have a brother by the name of, I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly or not, I think Abdullah. He has a story written of him. The title of the story is In Search of Home. I think it's a book that Christian Aid sponsored. He plans to be here sharing his testimony tonight, and so we're just going to have a real short devotional at the beginning and then give him about 20, 25 minutes. He's a brother who came to the Lord, was a Muslim, and so he wants to share his testimony. I think we're going to need an interpreter. I think he can only speak Russian, so you can look forward to that this evening. All right. I don't think I'm missing anything. Let's have the children come. All those who consider themselves children, if you'd like to come, sit up here and have your backs towards the stage here and face that center pool, and we'll have Pablo about at that location. And then Pablo, you can just come right on up.
Excuse me, son.
Sit close together. Sit as close together as you can.
I guess some of them could go on the platform, too.
Some of them up on the stage.
They could go up on the stage, yeah.
The stage will work, too. It looks like some of your children can go over here and go up the steps.
you'd like to sit up in the stage.
There you go.
There you go. Some of you in the back there, jump up there. Some of your bigger ones want to go around the steps there. We have lots of children here this morning. There we go.
Go find your place. Go find a place to sit down. Just sit down. You just go in there and sit down. That's all right. Here, you can sit right here. Right here. Come on. Find the little hole in there. You can sit down. Are you ready? Wow, what a big bunch of children. What a blessing to see all of you here this morning. You know, Jesus loves the children, so I'm sure he's going to be here too, interested in this little class. I'd like to tell you a Bible story this morning. But you know, the Bible stories are really short. If the Bible stories were written with all the details that happened in each story, the Bible would be so big they couldn't have all the stories in it. The book would be so big it wouldn't fit in this tent. So the stories in the Bible are really short with hardly any details. But each one of those stories really happened. You know, they actually happened, and they had a lot more details to them than the Bible can tell. So I would like to use a little bit of imagination this morning as I share with you, as we talk about one of the Bible stories, okay? So when you listen to this story, some of the things that I'm going to say are my imagination. But probably the things kind of happen the way that I'm going to tell you. And the real things, the main things that happened in the story, of course, are in the Bible, and they are true. So as you listen, just enjoy this story. Listen carefully. One time, there was a man sitting on a stone, like I am here this morning. And he was sitting there with his head down like this, and he was very, very sad. We can imagine that the moon was coming up that night. He's sitting on the hillside and the moon is coming up. Do you like the moonlight? It's pretty, isn't it? When the moon comes up, the big bright moon comes up, and it bathes the land with a nice yellow light. The moonlight was so beautiful that night. But you know what? This man that we're going to call the Samaritan, he didn't really enjoy the moonlight. Maybe he looked up a little bit and saw the moon coming up over the horizon, and he said, "That moon's not coming up for me tonight." He was so discouraged. He was so sad. You know why he was sad and discouraged? He was sick. And he had a sickness that he knew could not be healed. That sickness was called leprosy. You've heard about leprosy, right? In the Bible, the people that would get leprosy, their skin would break out in sores. And some of their parts of their body would get rotten and actually fall off, and they'd have holes and sores. And this man, we'll call Samaritan, had leprosy. So he was feeling really sick. And he had a lot of pain because the sores on his skin, they hurt. And their parts that were itchy, so he'd scratch. And then it would hurt. So he itched and scratched. And he was also sad because he possibly had a wife and children. He had a family, like you do. You're part of a family. You have mama and daddy, and brothers and sisters, and you live together in the same house. But you know what? Samaritan couldn't be in his house with his family, because leprosy is so contagious. The people that had leprosy had to live outside of the town. They couldn't go into town, because if they would go into town, they would make other people sick. Have you ever had chicken pox? When you get chicken pox, then you have to stay away from some people unless they want to get chicken pox, because it's contagious. See, that's the way this was. So Samaritan had to live outside of town in a place called Leprosy Colony. In the Leprosy Colony, he had to live separate from all the rest of his family and all the rest of his the people and his friends. And he could hang out only with the people that had leprosy. So he did have friends, but they also had leprosy. And they weren't going to get better either, because anybody who has leprosy at that time would have to surely die, because there was no way to get better. There was no medicine you could take. So Samaritan was sitting on the rock, and he was sad. Would you be sad? If you couldn't go home, you couldn't sleep in your bed, you couldn't sit down at the table and eat supper with mom and dad and your brothers and sisters, and you'd have to live out there in that poor colony where everybody's sick. And you know that soon you'll have to die. That was his condition. That's the way he lived. So he was sitting there, and he was so discouraged that night, and he was thinking about what his life is all. He was so sad and discouraged. But then something happened the next day, is what I want to tell you about. He got together with his friends. There were 10 of them, lepers, in the colony. And they would go out during the day. They would go and stand close to the city's gate, and they would beg and ask the people to give them a little bit of money or something so they could buy their food, because maybe they didn't have enough to eat. So they would go around and beg, and they'd have to stay away from the people. You know what they had to do when somebody came close to them that didn't have leprosy? They'd have to say, "Unclean, unclean," so that people would know, "You don't come close to me." So they had to stay off to the side. So they'd stand off to the side, and they'd beg, and they'd watch the people go in and out of the city. And these people could go home to their families, and they could eat supper around their table, and they could enjoy life, but they couldn't. They had to live separately. They were sad people. There were 10 of them, and we're going to call one of them Reuben. You remember him. He was a big, tall guy. He was tough. And Samaritan, he was just a little fella, and he was really sick. He was really hit by leprosy. Life was really hard for him. So they were out there one day, the 10 of them, and they were waiting till the people would come around so they could beg and ask for something to eat or ask for some money. When all of a sudden they noticed that there was a crowd coming down the road out of the city, there's a crowd coming, and they're all moving out through the gate, and they're coming through the city. And they start looking and wondering, who's that coming? And Samaritan says, "I wonder what's going on. Look at all those people. There's a whole bunch of people coming, just a mob of people. And they all seem to be looking in the middle, and there's somebody in that middle." So they ask, and they said, "What's happening?" They hollered out to the people, "What's happening? Where are you going?" And then they called back, and they said, "We're going to see Jesus. Jesus came to our town today." And all of a sudden, Samaritan felt something in his heart. Oh, he thought of it. "I have heard about Jesus, and I've heard that Jesus can heal the sick people. He probably can't heal leprosy, but maybe he could heal leprosy." And he started to think about, Jesus came to our town. They didn't know that Jesus had come to their town. He didn't expect Jesus to come to their town. But all of a sudden, he found out Jesus had come to their town. So what do you think he did? He said, "Boys, let's get a little closer and let's yell out there and ask Jesus to heal our leprosy." And Reuben said, "Jesus can't heal leprosy. Nobody can heal leprosy. What do you think you're doing?" But Samaritan said, "Maybe, just maybe." And about that time, the crowd came closer, and the 10 men got closer to look, and they walked up, and they looked. "Is that Jesus?" And they began to see if they could see Jesus, and they began to call out. And Samaritan says, "Jesus, could you help us? Have mercy on us." What do you think Jesus did? You remember the story? What do you think Jesus did? The Bible says that Jesus had mercy on these 10 lepers. He pitied them. He thought, you know, they have a sad life, and I can do something about it. Because Jesus is the Son of God, and he made us, so he can also heal leprosy, don't you think? But Jesus did something strange. Maybe a Samaritan thought that Jesus would come over and do like he did to some of the sick people. He would touch them. He would touch the sick people. He'd even touch the people that had leprosy, and they'd be healed immediately. But this time he didn't say that. This time Jesus just heard them yelling, and he answered back, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now that's funny. Why did Jesus say that? Go show yourself to the priest. Samaritan thought he might say, "I'm going to heal you." But he just said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And then they kept on going. Jesus just turned around and went away. And here they stood, the 10 of them, looking at each other. What shall we do? Now I want to explain to you why Jesus said they should go to the priest. They didn't have doctors back then like we do. They couldn't just go to a doctor and get a checkup. But back in that time, the people that had leprosy would go to the priest. And the priest knew enough about leprosy that he knew if they were sick or if they weren't. And one day, Samaritan had to go to a priest and say, "Priest, do you see my skin? Do I have leprosy?" And the priest said, "Yes, you do. You have to go live in the leprosy colony. In the leper colony. So they knew about leprosy. So if anybody was getting healed, they had to go to the priest, and the priest would say, "Your leprosy's gone. You're better. You can go home again." See? So it was the priest that could tell if they were sick or not, if they had leprosy or not. So now here they stand, the 10 of them, and they look at each other, and they're still just as sick as they were before, and Jesus is walking away. The Samaritan said, "Let's go to the priest." And Reuben, big old Reuben, said, "No. What do you mean, go to the priest? We don't need to go. We can't go to the priest. We're still sick. The priest would kick us out. He wouldn't even let us get close to his house. Because look, we're still sick. We can't go into the city. The people would get angry because we would be making everybody else sick. Why in the world would we want to go to the priest? That Jesus can't heal us." Samaritan said, "But he said we should. Maybe if we go, maybe we will be healed. Maybe when we get to the priest, somehow something will happen." And Reuben said, "Oh, stop dreaming, man. You can't go to the priest. Jesus can't heal you." Then Samaritan said, "I don't know about you boys, but I'm going to go anyway because Jesus told me to. I'm going to go talk to the priest." And he turned around and he started walking into the city. And he was maybe a little worried. What are people going to say when I come into the city and I get into the place where the priest lives and I get close to the house, and they're going to get angry at me and they're going to chase me out, but I'm going to go because Jesus said so. And he started walking toward the city. And you know what? Some of his buddies started going with him. They followed him. They just kind of look at each other and look back and forth. And Reuben was saying, "Boys, you're crazy. What in the world are you going to do in there? There's nothing you can do in there. Don't go." But you know what happened? After 9 of them were walking toward the priest's house, Reuben went too. But now let's think about Samaritan. He's walking slowly down the street. He's thinking what's going to happen. And he's thinking about the problems he might face. But he's also thinking, what if Jesus would heal me? And as he walked, he started feeling a little different. All of a sudden, it didn't hurt so much. All of a sudden, he could breathe easier. And all of a sudden, he started feeling as if he weren't sick. And maybe he was too scared to look at his hands that had all the sores, because he says, "I can't be dreaming. This can't be true." And he kept on walking, and he kept on thinking, "What if I were getting better? What if I were being healed?" And he kept on walking, and he walked a little faster, and he walked a little faster. And all of a sudden, he stopped, and he picked up his hands. What do you think he had on his hands? Did he have any sores left? What do you think? No. His sores were gone. He looked at his hands. He looked at his body. Maybe he had a rotten ear. And he touched his ear. I'm healed. And he stood there thinking, this can't be true. I'm healed. I feel so good. And he was so excited. And he didn't know what to do. When all of a sudden, somebody came running behind him, past him, running as hard as he could, just going down the road, down the street past him. And he saw it was one of his buddies. And then there goes another one running down the road. They were running as hard as they could to the priest's house. And he stood there wondering. They're healed too. And they're running to see the priest. Well, there was two. Then there was three and four and five and six, seven, eight. And who do you think the ninth one was? Reuben. Reuben was running as hard as he could go toward the priest's house. And the Samaritan was standing alone in the street. And his heart was so full, and he was rejoicing. And all of a sudden, he turned around. He didn't go to the priest's house. Why didn't he go to the priest's house? What did he go do? He turned around to go find Jesus, the one that healed him. And now can you see him? What do you think he was doing? He was running too. He was running as hard as he could go. He was running that way, and the nine were running that way. And he was just picking them up and putting them down. He was running so fast, and his heart was so happy. And he was thinking about all the things that he could do now. And maybe he was thinking, tonight I can go home and be with my wife and my children and sit around the supper table, and I can hold my baby, and I can hold my little boy, and I can hug my children. He was so happy, and he went running and running as fast as he could. He forgot about the priest. And he ran till he came to the crowd. And when he got to the crowd, he didn't stop. He was probably shouting, "Where's Jesus? I want to talk to him." And the crowd opened up and let him through. And he went running right into the middle until he found Jesus. And what do you think he did? Huh? Well, thank you, right. Can you imagine? The Bible says that he fell down on his face. He fell down on his face in front of Jesus. And I would like for you to just to picture Jesus standing there and the Samaritan down at his feet. The Bible doesn't say exactly what he was doing. It just says he fell down by his feet. But I can imagine the Samaritan was crying. He was so happy. And he put his head down on Jesus' feet, right on the sandals. And he clung to his ankles. And he just clung there and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me." And when he was done saying thank you, I can imagine that Jesus just went down like this, and put his hand on the Samaritan's shoulder and said, "Yes, I was glad to heal you. I'm glad you say thank you. But where are the other nine? Where are the rest? Where are the other nine? Didn't they want to come say thank you?" And Samaritan said, "I don't know. They went running to the priest's house." And then Jesus said, "You know what? I want to give you another gift. I want to give you salvation." And he touched him and he said, "Your faith has made you whole." And he gave him salvation. He forgave his sins too and made him a Christian. So when the Samaritan got up, not only was he healed from his leprosy. Now look what I did. You think I'll get in trouble with the boys back there? Not only was he healed from his leprosy, but his heart was healed, and he was saved, and now he was a Christian, and he believed in Christ, and he rejoiced, and he went home and lived a happy life serving the Lord. Now I want to just say a couple things yet. When we had this story for devotions with our family some time back, when I got this inspiration about Reuben and the Samaritan and how everything went, we started talking about how we should also say thank you. You know, people also have leprosy, and it's called sin. We have sin in our lives, and Jesus is willing to come and save us from our sins. And that leprosy called sin is worse than the leprosy they had. And Jesus is willing to heal us from our sins. So we should also say thank you, shouldn't we? And you should say thank you because you can be at home with your mom and daddy. And you can live with your family and have a happy life. So how do we say thank you to Jesus? We should also say thank you to Jesus every day because he did so much for us. Do you have any ideas? We sat down as a family and tried to figure out how we could say thank you to Jesus. So could you help me? How do you want to say thank you to Jesus because he heals us from our leprosy? Obey him. That's a really good way to say thank you to Jesus. One way is to just plain say it. We sing those little songs, you know, we say, thank you, Lord. Could we sing that? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Maybe that was a new song for you. So that's one way to say thank you, is sing it. And when you pray, you children can pray. You can say, thank you, Jesus, for healing the Samaritan and for healing us, his people. Then we can also thank him by obeying our parents. That's a way to say thank you, Jesus, by praising him and worshiping him, by serving him in many, many other ways. We should always be a thankful people. Always appreciate what Jesus does for us. Now, let's stand, if you can, wherever you're at, and let's pray. You can stand up now. You want to stand up? No, okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't have words enough to thank you for Jesus, the Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for coming down and healing our leprosy. And we don't have to be discouraged and sad anymore because we have hope. Hope for today and hope for tomorrow. I pray that you would bless these children, Lord, and give them appreciative hearts. And as they grow up, that they would remember this story and would always thank you and bless your name. And I pray that we adults could learn from this lesson too, and that we could rejoice this morning in your love for us, and we could give back our hearts to you to serve you forever. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you can go back to your seats.
As our first song here, let's sing from memory the song, Unto Thee, O Lord, the men lead out and the ladies repeat.
Oh, unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. My God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Show me Thy way, Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy path. God, I trust in Thee. let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me.
Open your songbooks to number 121. Number 121, Take My Heart, O Father, Take It.
Oh, take my heart, O Father, take it. Make and keep it all thine own. Let thy Spirit melt and break it, this proud heart. Father, make me pure and lowly, fond of peace and far from strife, turning from the paths unholy of this vain and sinful life. Ever let thy grace around me, strengthen me with power divine, till thy cords of love have bound me, make me to be wholly thine. May the blood of Jesus heal me, and my sins be all forgiven.
Number 98. Number 98, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. If no one joins me, still I will. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
Number 140. Number 140, follow the path of Jesus.
Oh, Follow the path of Jesus. Walk where his footsteps lead. Keep in his beaming presence every counsel heed. Watch while the hours are flying, ready some good to do. While his voice is calling, yield obedience true. Cling to the hand of Jesus all through the day and night. Dark though the way and dreary, he will guide you. Oppressed and wrong, lift them from depths of sorrow. In his strength be strong. Take up the cross of Jesus, sharing shame he bore. Self and the world denying, love the Savior more. Tell all the world of Jesus. Think of their gloom and loss. Tell of his great salvation, glory in his cross.
Number 20. Number 20, God is love. Let's stand to sing. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love.
Oh, come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make. Oh.
You may be seated. Let's turn to number 58. Number 58. When I survey the wondrous cross.
Oh, when I survey the
ladies sing verse 3, and then when we sing verse 4, stand at the beginning of the verse. Let's remain standing for one more song, number 6. This will be our final song, number 6. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Oh, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Lord,
You may be seated.
Actually, I was going to tell you, keep standing. Let's stand and pray. Sorry about that. God, we're so grateful to you for your marvelous grace in our lives. It's not that we certainly didn't deserve healing from our leprosy. And somehow, Father, I pray that we would be encouraged and somehow just really excited about telling you thanks for that healing. Healing that we didn't deserve, healing that you continue to give us as we cry out to you. And thank you for Brother Pablo, and thank you for the message that you've laid on his heart for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would be attentive. We would allow your spirit to move us, to change us, and as we leave from here then to serve you in a way that truly expresses loving you with all we've got. We give ourselves to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.